waiting for outcomes of a lawsuit that is still pending since we've opened, asking questions, trying to figure out how to get all of those issues resolved. And I had to deal with the fact that we had a subway going to the east side, but this board denied the east side a subway. The region had a motion that was put in, an initiative that asked the voters, to not support a subway. East side, very specifically, after we had gotten the funding for it, funding grant. So we had to, it passed by those voters, by the way, and I remember the editorials and the comments and everybody talked about how you just can't build subways in L.A. I don't know if any of you can remember that far. Some of you were on this board, some of you were not. And for me, all I knew is that my responsibility, and I've held the MTA accountable for it, is we needed to build a system to the east side for a very transit-dependent community that we know the day that it'll build it, it'll be probably one of the most utilized lines out there. So we have been diligent along the way throughout the years trying to build what we now must build, which is an above-ground system. We did have to put in some tunneling through Boyle Heights in a portion of it because the streets are so narrow and so old that they don't have the capability, the kind of residents, schools, and businesses that are there to potentially even build it above ground. On my committee, I have heard, and I think many of you have heard, and some of it, Mr. Mayor, has been about making sure that we had our calendars clear in June when this was scheduled to open. I don't know how many of you received that notice. But the scheduling didn't work at that time because there were conflicts. So they moved it to July. And then they said there were conflicts then. And then in August they told us that they were going to invite President Obama to come to our opening, but August was not a good time for him. So they decided to change it again. And so now it is scheduled for November the 15th. And I have to tell you that many of us have sat on the committee, have asked questions of the people who are responsible. I don't know most engineering terms. I don't know how to build this thing. I don't know what it takes, what it costs. But I spent a lot of time reading and trying to understand, so if nothing else, I could make responsible decisions on them forward and hopefully ask questions on a very common sense kind of approach. And I'm concerned about what I'm saying because I know what I'm saying can create difficulty for other issues. But I have been concerned as I've been watching and I have been asking questions along the way. My assumptions have been to take the answers that staff provide to be the correct ones, to be the appropriate ones. That's my job here, is to trust the staff. My job is to make sure that they have the resources, that they have all they need in order to give us the information they need. I'm supposed to trust that that information is objective, impartial, that it's honest, that it has the integrity. So that when we make these decisions, they're the right ones and the appropriate ones. So today we are scheduled to open the East Side Line on November the 15th against the backdrop of a lot of safety issues. Why? Because when it's going above ground, there are many safety issues that I have been trying to address. And honestly, haven't gotten the attention of the staff. Even when I had a motion passed unanimously by this board, the board sort of ignores you, placates you, and tells you whatever you want to hear, but at the end of the day, they're not going to do it. So my community is going to be opening up the east side. I don't want to call it substandard, but a subway would have been so much better, so much safer. and so much more. I was denied by this board and by some of my colleagues on this board and by the voters, the very wise voters, that this time when the subway was going to the west side, they said yes, but not when it was going to the east side. So I'm a little unhappy. I even have to put up with the LA Times talking about how parochial we are when we ask questions. But I've noticed that the LA Times hasn't written one article about the issues of safety out in the east side. By neighborhoods, it goes by schools, and it's never asked a question. I think they're also waiting for the ribbon cutting so we can get it over with. But the point is that, and Art has been very helpful in trying to get me the things that I need. I can't say the same thing about Rick Thorpe. Rick Thorpe, when I asked him about these issues, said, "You get it when you get it." And that's the way it is. And I was concerned when Rick Thorpe went over to Expo and whether I was going to get shortchanged on the east side about the time, the conscientiousness, and the ability to build the appropriate line on the east side. So a couple of weeks ago, I put Art in my car, and we drove around. And I pointed out not only all of the unsafe things that I and an untrained eye could see, but all of the sloppiness that was going on in the building of the east side. How I'm told that, well, you know, we're going to try and fix it, but we don't know if we can. We didn't know we were supposed to do that. It's creating these other safety problems. Get this substandard stuff. So I'm supposed to put up with this, with hundreds of children that cross through that street, through those neighborhoods, and so on. So he said to me, and so I said, I mean, I know one thing. I said, get me the punch list of all the things that need to be done. They were delivered to me a week ago. 57 pages of uncompleted items. Something that's going to open on November the 15th. I don't know if President Obama's coming, but it'd be nice. The issue is that I don't know if I'm ready for November the 15th, but there are a lot of people worried that if we don't open on November the 15th, somebody might be embarrassed along the way. And yet, these things magically all got done, by the way, all of them got done on October the 20th. It's today. 21st. That's what happened. And yet all of these children that are crossing, down these neighborhoods, even get a safety gate because I had to argue about it. Of course, they never jaywalk, those good kids, right? Never. You know, in the most overcrowded schools in LA. And when I ask for a gate, I'm told, can't get it for you yet. Can't build it for you yet. Can't do it for you yet. So I've had to be very insistent, and luckily Art is going to accommodate me and get it built. And because it hadn't been submitted yet to the PUC, it probably won't get approved until after we open the line. Pretty pathetic. All I am saying is it's a very, very sad day for the East Side to accept a substandard system when we should have had a first-class system. It could have been built with all the federal dollars that had been promised. But you know, in the east side, that happens us to pretty regularly. We get tapped on the head and we are told to accept these kinds of things. And I'm just telling you that I'm a little hostile and a little angry. I have, and I know that I could outline, and I was prepared to outline a whole lot of things, and I'm not going to do it. But I am very angry that Rick Thorpe thinks that he can treat us in this fashion, that I had to be so insistent. Art did the best he could with his staff, and I appreciate Dennis and all of the engineers that went through it. I had to get my county engineer who started yesterday in the afternoon, because I couldn't trust the MTA engineers that everything that got done on October the 20th was true. So they were there at 6 o'clock this morning. They've gone through this punch list as much as possible, and they have provided me assurances that most of those things have been corrected and that we may be ready on the 15th to go. But I just think that it's so unfortunate that as we're sitting here looking at opportunities to put on the hats of being the whole, and we're arguing still, and we know it's going to happen. We knew from the day that Mike Fuhrer kept hiding that initiative from us, the fact that I couldn't see it, the fact that I couldn't look at the language, was all suspicious that at the end of the day, when it was produced, it was going to shortchange some of us, and it certainly did. And yeah, you know, it was something that we had to put to the voters because it's their next 30 years of taxation that they're going to have. And yeah, we want to look at a little bit of fairness down the line. But I just have to tell you that it is unfortunate that we are, and I don't know how many of you will go that day to the opening of the East Side Line. I'm going to stand there proudly and try and assure my community that they got the best that we could get or give them. And I'm going to assure them that it's going to be as safe as it possibly can. But I'm not so sure that that's going to be the case. I'm going to ask a group of people to come up and join me. Por favor, pasen por aquí. These are some of the community residents that live along the line. And I think that this board owes them assurances. I have asked that Mr. Connell meet with them, as well as some of our engineers, and that they provide assurances to them that this line is going to be safe, that they answer all of their questions. And I think they're going to... They live along the line. Their children cross those streets. They're nervous, and they don't know that it's going to be safe. I just got assurances that it's going to be safe on October the 20th. I think this is all important to be said, folks. It really is. I'm trying to be as calm as I can because I can't begin to tell you how angry I am about this now battle of the subway all the way to the sea. Because there are many others in the San Gabriel Valley and others that need to be attended. And you know, all of you who are out there looking for jobs, wherever this choo-choo gets built, the jobs are, okay? So there's no battle on all of that. But it's a nice thing to be raising at a time like this. So I say these to you, and I say it publicly, because I don't trust the staff. I don't trust MTA. And I'm supposed to. But let me tell you why I don't. Because even today, as I stand here, yesterday I was told that in the LRTP, the East Side Extension was on there. I'm supposed to trust that, they told me. I read it. Guess what? Not on there. They forgot it. So I have to put in an amendment today for something I was told was going to be in there. Yes.
I had...
LRTP has to include everything that was in Measure R.
No, I think I know what you're referring to. I hope so.
I'd like to know what you're referring to.
I think this is in the strategic plan, the projects that we want to go after if more funding becomes available. I thought we had added, I truly did, I apologize, that... You know how there's several alternatives being considered for East Side Extension Phase 2?
Right.
So we're only able to choose one with Measure R. So the one that isn't chosen would go into the strategic unfunded plan. That was what we thought we had done.
But isn't the other one in the plan?
One is in the plan. One alignment would probably be chosen, we're assuming. And so the other alignment would be something you'd go after for funds, because they're separate corridors.
Is the extension of the East Side Gold Line in the LRTP as proposed?
In the funded plan, there's an extension of East Side, you know, the Phase 2 extension, but in the strategic unfunded plan, we did not put in that we would look for funds for the other alternative. And I thought we had. And we had done that with other projects.
So what is the mistake? Is it that you should have put it in the long-range plan, both of them?
In the alternative that is not chosen to be the alternative for the funded plan, we had intended to put that in the strategic element so that we would remember that alignment and try and go after funding for it above and beyond.
You didn't do that?
We didn't do that.
It's to add insult to injury, okay? I'm supposed to trust it. Hate to be so dramatic, folks, but this East Side keeps getting shortchanged. And so you asked me not to be paranoid and parochial, and I'm supposed to trust it?
It's not a promise, but it was certainly something we had intended to recommend.
You know, my point is, again, you know, folks, all of us deserve to be treated equally. A community that is poor on the East Side pays the same set of taxes that folks on the other side of town pay. And when somebody needs to get one of these systems, whether it's above ground or underground, we should be treated equally and fairly. MTA has continuously shortchanged the East Side. Continuously. And what I'm asking now is that I think we have to have the appropriate integrity to this community. And all we're asking now, even though we are getting a substandard above ground, and the West Side is going to get a subway, and we're all going to support it. I don't know how far it's going now. It might end up going through China if this keeps up. The point is that I need a commitment from this MTA board that we are going to do that, because, very frankly, some of the staff only work for some members on this board and not for all of us. And I think we need to remind them of that. Yes, there can be little mistakes, and you all say, oh, Gloria, don't say that. Don't point the finger in that direction. But you know what? How many times should I wait to be shortchanged? And how long should I stand around waiting to be tapped on the head, told that you get it when you get it? I think it's unfair. I think we're being shortchanged. And I need assurances that this community is going to get all of those answers, Art, before we start parading, cutting ribbons, inviting the president. And I think that in the long run, I think that your staff has to be much more careful, much more careful. I don't know that on October 20th, miraculously, everything got fixed because I got upset, or they just said they fixed it. I'm supposed to trust that they did it. But it's painful, very painful.
Mr. Persona, let me defer to Mr. Leahy, and then when he's done, I'll come back specifically with the comments raised.
Let me try to, I've made some notes here as the comments were being made. Let me comment on some of the most important things. I appreciate the supervisor's concerns about safety, and obviously her strong interest in enhancing safety. I note that one of my first decisions when I arrived here a while ago was to call for a peer review of the safety of the practices and the design of the East Side Line. That was completed a few months ago, and flowing from that come a series of actions which are awaiting board approval and the approval of the California Public Utilities Commission. These actions, in many cases, exceed that which is required by state law or by PUC requirements for safety, and I think that's appropriate. We have discussed over the last couple of months that we will approach the East Side opening on a safety-first basis, and therefore are in the design process. I gave the instruction today to start design on the fences, even though the board hasn't approved it yet, and it's not yet been approved by the PUC. But the purpose of that is to get the fences out there as soon as possible. I've asked that we send an additional number of safety ambassadors out to the critical locations, which would be, of course, those near schools. We have had ongoing discussions with both the city and the county regarding certain limit line design features to ensure that we have as safe an operation as possible. And the supervisor is correct. Some county engineers came in today and did validate that the work that was reported by on the punch list had been correctly documented. I would not ask Director Molina or the board to offer blanket trust to the MTA staff. We have to earn your trust, and I think we have to do that by being forthright and as comprehensive as we can, and we're going to be working to achieve that, not to have you give us your trust, but to have us earn your trust. And, you know, I would just note that when we make a mistake, as was just observed, Carol will correct that. I would like to say to you that we won't make mistakes, and we will certainly try not to. We need to improve our own performance, but our goal will be to be as forthright and as comprehensive in dealing with the safety issues and all other issues as we can. I appreciate very much the strong sentiment of the director as regards this. I want you to know that I have been concerned about safety in my career since 1981, which was when I had an occasion to observe a fatal accident. And so I understand quite well how serious the consequences of design or poor operations can be. And so my pledge is that we're going to do our very best. I would like to comment just briefly on the long-range transportation plan. Measure R is really just a starting point for that discussion. Elements of the long-range transportation plan are not limited to those which are in Measure R. The transportation plan really is a roadmap for the future. It's an aspirational document that gives us a hunting license to seek additional funds. In the plan are a series of assumptions as to how successful we might be with the federal program. There are assumptions in there about borrowing and interest rate and economic growth and the like. Over time, we will learn about whether or not those assumptions come to pass or not, and we will make the appropriate adjustments coming back to the board. I would like to note that the Measure R amounts on some of the rail projects referenced a while ago have been escalated. We'll continue to do that as well. So when assumptions don't come to pass, we will come back to the board. We will report on that. We'll be then seeking amendments and changes to update our direction at that time. I hope these comments are helpful. And Carol, we'll make the appropriate amendments to the plan. Thank you.
Le quiero decir nomás al grupo que está aquí, los vamos a asegurar es que vamos a tener una reunión para asegurar que está más seguro la línea. Toda la información va a estar lista y preparada y no va a abrir esta línea. It's not going to open until this community is assured that it's safe. No vamos a abrir la línea hasta que ustedes están asegurados que está seguro toda la línea, que vamos a tener todas las precauciones que necesitamos para proteger a nuestros niños, a nuestras familias y nuestra comunidad, porque la verdad es que no nos han tratado con el propio respeto que necesitamos en esa comunidad para tener este tipo de sistema ahí. So, we will provide all those assurances to that community, correct?
Indeed, Mr. Chair. I would not be in favor of opening the line if I didn't believe it was safe, but we'll certainly be happy to work with the community. As with any transportation system, there are always issues. We will identify the corrective actions, whether that's a safety ambassador or a fence or whatever it might be, so that we can operate the line in as safe a condition as humanly possible.
I know, but Art, you and I have been arm wrestling on all of these kids crossing without a gate, okay? We finally resolved it yesterday, but it wasn't easy, okay? And all of it might have to be. It's an issue of whose point of view it is safe. And it might mean that this thing is going to have to go slower through some of these areas, particularly when children let out of school. But les doy las gracias por haber venido y les vamos a dar las seguranzas que necesitas. Gracias.
¿Puedo hablar una palabra, señora Molina?
No, sir.
Las vías no son...
You can have a sidebar comment if you'd like.
Las vías no son seguras. momento allí.
Director Fasana.
I will yield at this time to Director Ridley Thomas.
Thank you,
Director Ridley Thomas.
Director Fasana. Mr. Chair, I respect your attempt to bring closure to the discussion, and hopefully we can do so and accommodate the most recent amendment that has been brought forward. Page one of the Ridley Thomas Fasana Antonovich motion has the first action. I would just simply say where it says not one pursue other potential.
And if you could point us to exactly where you're reading from.
Let me repeat. The first action, number one.
It's the original motion.
Same.
The original amendment motion slash motion. Paragraph numbered one.
Right. Where it says pursue other funding, potential funding. Preceding pursue, it says as a first priority, comma. All right. And then on the second page, pursuant to the discussion that took place around McCatt's motion, it would be after G, it would be H, standalone, H, okay? Everybody with me? H. In addition, Metro shall endeavor to identify and obtain additional funding from all feasible sources for other underfunded projects in the 2009 LRT plea, including the West Side subway extension. That would be the full exclusion of it. Standalone item, Mr. Mayor. H, right under there. I'll read it again. In addition, Metro shall endeavor to identify and obtain additional funding from all feasible sources for other underfunded projects in the 2009 LRTP, including the West Side subway extension. It puts it all there. I would so move, and if there's a second pursuant to that, I think we can dispose of it.
I'll second.
Are you good?
Mr. Mayor says he seconds it.
Is there
Mark, would you just say what you did at the very beginning?
The first item. The first part of your...
The first priority, comma.
Where did you put that?
Right, that's right, right here. Right.
The first priority, comma, pursue other potential funding. That's what it says. I think
everybody
that should handle
that?
It.
Does the secretary get that? As a first priority, comma, pursue other potential.
I seconded that.
Okay, motion and a second. All right, I just want to make sure we're clear what we have there. Okay, Director Fasana.
I yielded my time. I support the amended motion.
Director Antonovich.
We support the amendment because it differentiates between a gap, and that's relative to a state requirement or legislation, and versus a line that was not included, but they can look for funds. But the first priority indicates what the people support it, want, and would move this project forward.
Director Du Bois. Yes. Director Kanabe.
Could be it, Ms.
I support the change here. I think we also need to make it clear to everyone that the debate really concerns this amendment and how, you know, the wordsmithing is going on here. This does not change the support for the LRTP or the regional connector or the subway.
Right.
Okay, this just sort of clarifies, you know, what's left over in that particular battle. So I wouldn't want anyone to think out there we're trying to reorganize the LRTP. The LRTP still stands with this clarification. And you know, I mean, I think that's extremely, extremely important that we understand that. We need to, get on with it. It does include the report back in January, I assume, on the I-5. Is that correct?
Director Katz.
Okay. Yeah. Mark, the only question I had was
point
on
number three is
that Amendment 3?
Yeah.
Okay. I think with the, you know, with your language, and then we add in our Amendment 3 also to that piece. So you have the first priority, and then we have a new H, which addresses the language you just added.
And 3 is technical in nature.
Right.
In terms of clarifying the law, and that's in order. Yeah.
By 3, you're referring to from the unallocated funds other than transit funds.
Right. But that's a legal consideration that's appropriately stipulated.
Okay. That's just wonderful. So will you be withdrawing your...
I'm sorry, Mark.
Well,
I'd like to move this forward. I think we've got some good consensus here.
I just have one other question because I want to clarify something. That if, Mark, are we talking about in terms of shortfalls in baseline funding as projected in the plan today? In your motion, I just want to make sure what we're talking about.
I want to be sure that I know what you're asking. I think we're ready to move, Mr. Mayor, are we not?
I think we're ready to move, unless...
I call the previous question on the entire matter. A second?
Hold on, let's just make sure that there's no question on that.
I just want to make sure that what we're talking about is gap funding in gap based on the baseline funding assumptions that are in the LRTP. That's all I'm asking. That's what we're talking about. Okay.
As opposed to what?
Yeah, as opposed
to what?
As opposed to what?
As opposed to...
I'm interested in this one.
I would...
Yeah, I'm just... Actually, the point I was trying to clarify is baseline funding. I want to make sure there's an assumption in terms of, for instance, if...
We're not renegotiating anything.
No, if I'm not negotiating.
No, I'm saying we're not attempting to renegotiating.
I understand that.
Okay.
If, for instance, New Start's funding for Subway falls short of the assumptions in the baseline, does that then mean that these other projects are a priority in front of the Subway for additional funding, for federal funding? That's the only thing I want to clarify.
I think the matter is silent on that, and we know these are approximations at best. And to the extent that is the case, I don't know how we can seek to answer that. The priority has already been specified with respect to the regional connector and the new starts.
All right. In that case, Supervisor, with the amendments we've discussed, I will withdraw my motion, and we will move ahead with yours.
Thank you. Previous question, Mr. Chairman.
Unless it's critical, I think we're on the verge of a good thing happening.
I just want to
talk to a staff and explain exactly what you're doing. Okay. Well, they see it.
What, me to explain what you're doing?
As I said, Mr. Chairman, I called for the previous question. I did that before I spoke, Mr. LeBange.
I think we should maybe move forward with this momentum that we have at the moment.
Can I just make a textual suggestion that the amendment you just made, instead of being an H, be put it as a sentence in number one after the word subway? I'm sorry, I have an old version. After Crenshaw LAX Transit Corridor, I guess is what it would be.
No, Mr. Yaroslavsky, I think it's standalone as H, and that's the way I would like for it to be.
Pardon me?
The answer was no. I put it in as H for a particular reason, so it stands out there, and that's the way I would like for it to be.
All right. It's just that the letters enumerated are the sources of funding, and H is not a source of funding. It's just that's the only reason I suggested it. So have it your way.
Ask another question. Could you move H to A? At least move it up there.
I don't think there's any. I'm gonna strongly recommend that we not tinker with that. I think there's no H is not
call for the question
forceful than A.
Well, no.
Should we do the machines, or should we just do a unanimous kumbaya? No?
All right. I'm not going to vote for this until...
I didn't see her name.
I'd like to see on the screen number 5 to see that the language has been added. There's the language...
Sure. 5.
Unallocated funds, and then it should say in the first line...
From the unallocated funds,
other than transit funds, available. It goes earlier, I believe. Oh, wait, that's where it goes. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, let's clear the machine.
Go back to number 4. Number 4.
This is with a return, the quarterly, with it in terms of returning quarterly with the...
It said return in January.
And quarterly thereafter.
That's in there.
Okay. Turn the machines on.
I think it malfunctioned.
Let's...
just crashed. I'm sorry.
It just crashed?
Okay, I can take the vote.
It didn't, no.
We go by roll call. Let's send a message to New York, to Salt Lake, to Houston, to Philadelphia, New Jersey,
and
to D.C., that we're players and we're coming, and watch out. We're here. We're going to do it by roll, the old-fashioned way.
As amended.
As amended with the included amendments.
Right now?
Director Robinson?
Mr. Chairman.
Director Robinson.
We're voting.
Yes.
Okay. Director Labonge?
Yes.
Director O'Connor?
Yes.
Director Yaroslavsky? Yes. Director Katz?
Yes.
Director Villaraigosa?
Aye.
Director Kanabi?
Aye.
Director Du Bois?
Aye.
Director Ridley Thomas?
Aye.
Director Antonovich?
Aye.
Director Molina?
Bring it up afterwards.
Okay. Say yes.
Aye.
Director Pisana?
Yes.
Chair Najarian?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Woo!
Come on. Good work. Yeah. Chairman,
Mr. Chairman.
Director Antonovich.
I have a motion co-authored by the Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa and Supervisor Merlina. As a result of SB 545 not becoming state law, the communities of El Sereno, South Pasadena, and Pasadena are left vulnerable to the possibility of a surface route extension of the 710 freeway between Valley Boulevard and California Boulevard. When MTA went to the voters last year, Measure R, the description of the project was defined as follows, quote, Interstate 710 North Gap Closure Tunnel. However, the MTA long-range document incorrectly calls this project 710 North Extension with no designation as to whether or not the project is a subsurface extension. The voters' approval of Measure R for this project, $780 million plus escalation, based on the concept of a tunnel route as defined in the expenditure plan. We would therefore move that the board direct the CEO to reflect the Measure R language for a tunnel project in the adopted long-range transit plan, and further move that the board direct the CEO to send half the board to our governor, Caltrans, State Senate Pro Tem, Assembly Speaker, and our L.A. County.
You can't do this. This is...
reflects the board's desire for this project to be considered a project as approved by the voters of Los Angeles County under Measure R.
Okay, and just so I'm clear on it, urging the governor and the other parties to see this as a tunnel project.
In alignment with Measure R.
Can I state a parliamentary inquiry on behalf of the public about what just took place here?
No.
Why can't...
No.
So he's proposing an amendment...
No. 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 Yeah. Sit down, Mr. Klugman. Okay, this is clarification, and this is... did everyone have a copy of this motion?
Do I have a copy of his amendment? Can I look at it?
Yeah, sure, here.
It's being typed on the board. This is a corollary to our previous action. Okay, are there any objections to the site? Is the machine back on?
Right here.
Okay. Directing the CEO to send a letter on behalf of the board to the governor, Caltrans, State Senate Pro Tem, essentially cleanup language of the discrepancy between the Cedillo bill and the Measure R regarding the form of the 710 connection. Are there any objections to this? Okay, this is passed unanimously. We have to go to item 18 because it's a cleanup item that we carried over.
Approval of 18.
Request to speak, Dr. Clyde Williams.
Good girl.
Hey, Dr. Clyde Williams.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno. Be careful with this one because the way in which it's designed and built will affect the high-speed rail because this station lies across the route. So in the conceptual design and engineering, I'd highly recommend that you not preclude a possible tunnel route under the 101 and between the Piper Tech and the Union Station. Therefore, be very careful on where the pilings are done and make sure that a tunnel could still be done as a Union Station alternative. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We had a motion. Was there a second? We have a quorum. Second. Are there any questions from the board? Okay, we have a motion. Second. Any objections? Okay, this item is passed. Okay, let's go to. Do we have to go to closed session?
Even though you know I'm.
Or should we do Breda? Okay, I'm going to call a 5-minute recess. Everyone stretch their legs, and we'll be back in 5 minutes, no longer. We need to hold out just a little bit longer. I think we're running pretty well on our scheduled order of events.
Chair, I'll move adjournment.
The record reflects.
After all that.
Will the record reflect that I could have been the mayor of Glendale this year, but no. No, I accommodate the supervisor.
I more want the record to reflect and that you volunteered at Don's request as a chair this year.
You volunteered, see?
Let the record reflect that some of us appreciate your service.
Thank you. Right, thank you, Kimberly. Thank you.
He's a great American, isn't he? That's what I said.
One, two, three. Okay. Okay, we're on number 48, item 48, which is the status of the Breda contract.
We're big, Richard.
Mr. Chair, members, I'd like to bring you up today on what's happened since the last month. Last month, the board instructed me to negotiate and execute a contract with Breda consistent with a certain number of specific requirements that were discussed at that board meeting. In the ensuing month, we have engaged in intense and very difficult negotiations with Breda because of the significant financial obligations being outlined on both our side, but as well as Breda's. During this time, we have literally sliced and diced every issue a dozen different ways. And I need to report to you that there were a couple of issues which we do not have agreement on in strict consistency with the previous criteria that were discussed last month. Specifically as regards the way of the option, of the base order cars. Breda continues to promise reducing the car's weight by about 2,800 pounds. Leaving them still around 2,000 pounds in excess of the specification. In coming to this conclusion, Breda has sought to if you will, compensate the MTA for this development by offering us two additional cars on the option order. That is, that we would be receiving 102 cars rather than the 100. In addition to that, last month there was basically a commitment. By the way, Breda has committed to the letter of credit, $300 million, and a backing letter from Finmeccanica up to $375 million signed by Finmeccanica. There is an escape clause in the current draft contract such that if these documents are not executed within 20 days, that the contract is rendered void. Implicit last month, but not explicit, was that Finmeccanica's exposure to this liability will not exceed the $375 million. Finmeccanica, pardon me, Bredo has insisted upon that, and with some reason that's not hard to understand. We've agreed to that tentatively. However, the liability of Ansaldo Breda is not capped, so that would remain as it was. In addition to that, working actually from instructions from the board last March, we have resolved some issues having to do with change orders that were done over a four-year period having to do with the base car orders. It's best to resolve these issues now because they really change the specifics on some of the details of the option cars. So therefore, we've come to a price settlement on that as well. So even though, you know, these agreements are not in strict consistency with what was promised last time, I felt they were close enough and beneficial enough to the MTA that it was incumbent upon me to bring this back to the board to seek additional direction. I recommend that, just remind you, you've already authorized the option, exercise of the option. What I'm talking about here now is modifying some of the details as to how that option would actually work. So based on this, I recommend that the board approve these changes. Mr. Safer, is there anything I've left out that's of importance here?
No, that was a complete description.
Concludes my comments then.
Thank you. Director Du Bois, I have two public comment requests. Would you mind if I go to them first? Arnold Sachs, followed by John Walsh.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Arnold Sachs. The only question I really have... After last month's discussions, there was an article in the newspaper regarding it. And at the very end, because part of this discussion hinged on Ansaldo Breda building a plant in L.A. County, and in this newspaper article from the L.A. Times, it stated, Cecilia Estolano, who is overseeing the rail plant project as chief executive of the Community Redevelopment Agency, noted that Ansaldo Breda has agreed to pay full-time workers at the plant a living wage, which would be at least $10.30 an hour. Yet the unions and the workers here, and a living wage, excludes benefits. And all the workers and the unions are here. I never heard any discussion of that here in this committee when the discussion was going on regarding the contract and what they were willing to do. So where this information came up and how it came up and how it excluded the unions is more duplicity. Thank you.
Thank you. John Walsh?
I made my point today.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. I'm going to go to Director Du Bois and then Director Antonovich.
Okay. Here's my question for the CEO. Celebrator cannot get the weight off of the cars. So in order to compensate us for that, they'll give us two more cars also overweight.
No.
No. That's the question. Same question I asked. It's under the option, right?
The option cars will be brought. There's 100 option cars, now 102. For the price of the 100, that's a good deal. Those cars will be in compliance with the weight specification. The base order cars, the 50, of which we've received around 37, those will be reduced in weight by about 2,900 pounds, leaving approximately a 2,000-pound overage. Those are cars that we already have, most of them. In exchange for that, Breda offers the two additional cars. That's around $6 million, those two cars.
Are we going to be able to utilize the cars that we have that are too heavy? Do we have some place with flat lines? My concern is if there's weight, that you're not going to be able to stop when you go up and down, oopsie-doopsie over the hill.
I don't believe that there's been no discussion here of safety issues as regards these cars. Breda will bring them into compliance with the train lining requirements. So there's some additional cost of electricity, but I think that the two additional cars more than compensates for that.
I understand that. I just want to make sure that we're not accepting and putting a product on the lines that doesn't have enough brakes to make it stop.
I don't believe there's any safety issues here. I've discussed it with Caltrans. They don't see any issues as regards their structures. So I think that is not, safety is not a concern.
They're not taking out the redundant brake
pump. No.
Okay. That was my question. Thank you.
I would just note for you as well, we already own these 50. So getting the commitment to reduce the weight is a significant achievement, and getting two additional cars as part against that base order problem is a significant benefit.
They own the...
This is the base order.
Have they been delivered?
Yes, well, 37 of them have.
Okay.
What, I mean...
Any other... I have to go to Director Antonovich.
Sorry.
Vice Chair.
What we're talking about today is contrary to the motion that was passed by the MTA board. We gave clear direction to the CEO that either they fulfill the contract, the proposals, all the aspects that we discussed and they committed to at the previous meeting, 100% compliance. And failure to do that, we would then have an RFP go out and we would solicit to see who can provide at the best cost the rail cars that are needed. So Breda, they failed this board when we were unanimous in saying that they had to agree 100%. What's interesting is that the 100 car options does not meet our needs, because we need 202 new light rail vehicles for a new service on our new transit lines, as well as to replace the old ones in need of repair. And the contract is only for 100 cars. But we know the two previous contracts have never been billed on time. We're still waiting for the last contract that's 3 years delayed in getting us the cars, of which they've only given us about half. And as those has been stated, are overweight and undersized. And they were the size, the inside for the seats, maybe for small people, but we have full-size people in Los Angeles County who are going and are inconvenienced by riding on substandard seats and substandard aisles. So MTA has to go out to bid for an additional 102 cars in the near future. That means we have to go out. By accepting Breda and violating our motion of last month, we're going to lose tens of millions of new federal dollars, because we can't use federal funds for this because Breda violated their agreement. By accepting the options, the five-year window allowed by the Federal Transit Administration, we are voluntarily giving up tens of millions of federal dollars, perhaps $100 million in federal funds that would be used to help pay for our $300 million option contract with Breda. The money will have to come out of local or state sources that could be used to support our other capital projects, those that we discussed today, the Crenshaw Line, completing the Green Line, the Gold Line, the other vital projects that are necessary and need to be developed. The only way to preserve MTA's ability to gain tens of millions of dollars in new federal dollars for rail car purchase is to go out to bid for all 202 cars. Greatest job claims for this job option is very interesting. In January, they were telling us it was for 2,000 new jobs. February 10th, they were saying it was 5,000 new jobs. Back in March, they said it's going to generate 5,000 new jobs. Now it's going to generate about 600 jobs. Very, very far cry. Plus, they're going to be doing a lot of the work in Italy, not in Los Angeles County. That's very interesting. We're going to help Italians... government employ their people at the expense of our people. When the claim on job creation is false. Breda has zero contracts outside of this one that they would like to have. They have no presence in the United States. We are it. Their reputation is severely strained in the United States, especially with its inability to deliver contracts with Buffalo and again with the MTA. Twice they have failed. They have a bad reputation. It will severely impact our ability to get other new contracts in the United States. This past month, the San Diego Municipal Metropolitan Transit System awarded for 57 light rail vehicles $205 million to Siemens, not Breda. And Breda was projecting that they're going to be building those cars in San Diego while another person outbid them. So even if MTA would award Breda the 100 car options, they would need contracts to build 650 new rail cars and refurbish 360 rail cars to be built over a 10-year period to generate the jobs that they were exaggerating that this proposal would generate for the county. Siemens is the top rail car manufacturer in the United States. With seven orders being fulfilled concurrently, they do not even employ more than 600 people currently prior to their planned expansion. And all this is with the premier market share for USA light car orders. With only one order on the table, Breda is in no position to fulfill its claims for jobs for our county. And based on current productivity in Northern California, with our order, Breda would only employ about 36 people in Los Angeles County, not the thousands that they're talking about. So we are talking about having the MTA violate the motion that was passed to this organization. And I know there were trade-offs. There was even concerns that Breda had operations in Iran or had economic interests in doing with Iran. And that was one of the concerns that we had voted on or raised great concern about. I know our pension board and in our county, we're not investing in companies that have business with Iran. But that's another issue that we never had a clear message on, and that was raised that Breda had economic ties. So, again, what we should do is follow what we had done in the previous meeting, accept Breda with no changes, or if there are going to be changes, go out for an RFP. And there were changes, so we should comply with that motion, go out for the RFP. We're going to have to go out for another 102 cars anyway, make it 202 and do it in one clean sweep. Breda wants to compete, let them compete. But let also the other vendors compete as well to see if we can get the best product for the taxpayers that are delivered on time, the correct weight, the correct dimensions for full-size people that will serve this county, and the rail cars will be able to be used on all of the various rail lines that we have and not be restricted to one particular rail line, because we have a number that are coming online and we have a number that are operating today.
Mr. Leahy, if you have some comments on that.
Yes. Last month, I was instructed by the board to negotiate and execute a contract. And as we did this, I concluded that my responsibility to the board was best discharged by bringing this matter before the board. I regard the two issue areas that I referenced a while ago as being de minimis, as regards the overall scope and value of the contract. Moreover, I think there is significant benefit to the MTA with the additional cars that we're talking about. The Finn Mechanica cap was implicit in what was discussed last month. So I don't consider that to be a significant change in any fashion. It's a minimal change. And I believe that my obligation to this board was best discharged by bringing this matter back to the board with the recommendation that I've made.
Thank you. Director Kanabe, then Director Fasana.
What about the issue of federal funds? Can we clarify that forever? I mean, did we lose it, or was it never included? I mean, I think I was shocked at the last meeting to find out that it was never included. Is that the case?
My sense of the history of this, Mr. Chair, members, is that we always proceeded as if there would be federal funds just to keep that option open. Oftentimes you do that on construction projects or major procurements like this, but I don't believe that we assumed federal funds would be available for the last couple of years. I see Lonnie coming up. Perhaps he can amplify my history. Right. There was federal funds in the base.
There were federal funds in the base. The planning all along for the options was that there was not federal funding available. But as Mr. Leahy has said, we proceeded along the assumption if it became available, we could use it.
So the option piece then had no, you know, I've heard say, well, we didn't do something within 5 years, so we lost our federal funds. So
we never had the federal funds. We lost the opportunity to use them based upon a reinterpretation of a circular. The underlying federal statute never changed. 4420.1 echo from FTA focused not on the exercise date, but on having 5 years worth of requirements when you let the initial contract. There were a number of questions throughout the industry. We had them. New York City Transit had them. Other agencies also. They put out, not for that reason, but because it was time to put out an update to the circular, they put out 4420.1 Foxtrot. They clarified that, and it goes back specifically to the wording in the underlying statute that says it has to be exercised within 5 years of the date of the contract. Not while it does mention the 5 years worth requirements, they clarify that it's got to be exercised within five. So we started with the assumption that that we had 5 years worth of requirements, that they would not be federally funded, but if the federal funds became available, we'd be able to make use of it. There are not federal funds available for this, but if there were, we would not be able to use them.
So still, I mean, even on the option, if they became available, we could still use them. Is that correct?
Option cars will be in compliance with the spec.
All right, the second piece is on the overweight issue, and I understand that the new cars, the weight will not be an issue. Is that correct?
Correct.
So,
should that be a problem, remember that we have the penalty schedule with a $5,500 per day penalty for delays, and the cars are not considered delivered until they accept them.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that, with the exception. I really don't want their money. I want cars.
Correct.
Then the second piece, if they still owe us 13 cars?
Correct. It's 12 or 13, something on that.
Well, I mean, why can't those 12 or 13 be of weight?
We have argued about that the entire tenure I've been with the MTA. Initially, they said no. We argued about that for a period of time.
But if they showed a willingness to do it on the option cars, why would they not just want to finish off their product?
They're here, so perhaps they can answer the question, but I think that the issue was that as they retool and redesign and prepare for the option, they can't do that work consistent with a delivery or earlier delivery schedule for the option. I mean, for the base order. They're here if you'd like to have them answer.
Sure, I'd love to have them answer. I mean, that's
hey, is there someone from Brady?
I mean, if you owe us 13, why can't you make the 13 of weight? I understand it.
Many 13, they're in advanced state of production. So
they're already
built, pretty much built.
All right.
80% to 99% built, so.
That doesn't mean ready for revenue service. Pretty much built and built are not the same thing.
100% built.
The question was about how is it possible that you cannot change the weight on the remaining 13, and the answer is they are already built.
At the correct weight?
No.
No.
But you can't.
No one's will.
You want us to take more overweight cars.
Reduced down by 2,000, right?
That's like selling a 36 suit to a guy that wears a 30 regular suit.
I don't wear a 36, I know that.
Okay. Director Kanabi.
All right, I'm done.
You're done? Director Fasano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your consideration. I appreciate it.
Somebody asked about seconding it. I will second the motion to get it on the floor, doing exactly what we're doing. We've discussed.
And which motion?
Legal papers, if not completed within 30 days.
That's right. The 30 days has not yet run.
Versions being recommended today that were not in the motion that was passed, in which they indicated there'd be no other revisions. It would be signed as Breda stipulated and recommended be signed in their testimony, public testimony, which the record will show, is now being violated with their ability to change those statements that they made. And our board was saying, keep their feet to the fire, no exceptions. If they can't do it, then we will go out to an RFP. Now, you're saying there's 30 days. Maybe they have, there's only been 29 days. That gives them one more day to go back and comply with the original order. There would be no exceptions and be signed as they stipulated they would sign.
That's correct. Or alternatively, the board can, you know, take action today.
The board doesn't have to take action today because the board took action last month. We said sign it as they agreed they would sign with all of their commitments, not that there would be new revisions.
Right, it doesn't have to. The board doesn't have
to. Let's get the answer. And so are our actions today in strict compliance with the board's direction last month? I think that's what it boils down to, with all those issues that we raised.
Right. The board took action last month. Now, that was in September. Now, here we are in October. The matter's before the board, and it can take the action that's before it. In other words, it can modify.
Following the motion as directing him last month as the option that he had.
He's not prohibited from coming back to the board with and reporting back to the board what the deal is.
Would you start a mark?
Let me move, Mr. Chairman, that
there's a motion here.
Breda did not meet the demands set forth by the board, demands which Breda agreed to at the board meeting of last month. The terms of the adopted board position is that the CEO would go out for competitive procurement should Breda not meet those demands. We therefore move that the MTA board direct the CEO to terminate both options. Breda determine Metro's light rail car needs and delivery schedule necessary to implement Measure R according to the adopted 2009 long-range plan and to manage our railroad car fleet, enter into a new competitive procurement process that meets Metro's needs for light rail vehicles and heavy rail vehicles, develop and present to the board by January 31st an improved contract management process for board discussion and approval that best ensures the firm awarded the new procurement contract would be managed effectively, on time, on budget, and on specification, and pursue all state and federal funds available to fund the new procurement contract with a monthly report to the full board as to the status of such effort.
We'll second it for the purposes of discussion.
And I have Director Fasano wishing to speak.
I'm going to say at this point, I think the CEO has brought back something that was very close to what the board directed, not entirely. We're here for final clarifications. I think we've, partly due to the diligence of Director Antonovich, Director Yaroslavsky, Director Du Bois, and others, and through Director Katz and his work and others, I think we've got the best arrangement here possible. I think we have a tremendous opportunity to bring jobs out into this area immediately and actually get cars out to the public more quickly than starting a brand new procurement at this time. So I think we actually have an opportunity now to really move forward with a product that has been tremendously improved. The weight issue, we have some culpability on that as well in terms of how we manage the contract. I think at this point we are best in position to move forward with the suggestions and amendments as proposed by the CEO and move forward with getting these cars here to Los Angeles.
Director Kanabe.
Yeah, I agree with John. I really think that if you look at it, from a parliamentary standpoint, I'm not sure that Supervisor Antonovich's motion is necessary because the direction was for Mr. Leahy, because since the time hasn't expired, okay, to either sign it per our request at the last meeting or come back with a different, and he's come back, and so the item is actually, I'd like to make a substitute motion just to move on the CEO's recommendation. I mean, you still got 20 days. If they don't sign it in 20 days, it's null and void.
It's actually 10 days.
That's 10 days. It'll be 10 days for them to sign. I mean, I just...
Right. 10 days within which to execute the contract with the...
To deliver
amendments,
the letter of credit.
Contract amendments.
It's 10 days to deliver the letter of credit.
So to be clear, we would sign the contract, and then they have argued that that establishes certain preconditions as regards the letter of credit and other documents. They would have 10 days from the day of signing to produce the letter of credit and the letter of backing from Finn Mechanica. If that does not occur, then the contract is voided.
Okay.
What's that, Charles? A condition subsequent or something? What do they call that?
There's a second amount of substitute motion.
I used to practice law.
Yeah, covered in a second.
Okay, there's a substitute motion moved and seconded. Is there any other discussion?
No.
Let's.
Yes, I just turned on my light.
Oh, yes, there you are. Director Du Bois.
I'm going to abstain on this. That's the kindest I can be because I still do not have a lot of confidence in this company that we are giving lots and lots of money to. I'm waiting to see them deliver. And until they can deliver, I'm not going to be real happy with them. However, I can also count. So I will abstain just barely. You got that right. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's clear the machine and take the vote on the substitute motion of Director Knopf. Where's my vote? This is a Kanabe motion to instruct the CEO to sign the agreement. Director Molina has an opportunity to...
Oh, yeah, Director Robinson.
Director Robinson. Okay, we're starting over, folks. We didn't have all the names logged on.
We know who's here.
You didn't click Robinson.
Sorry.
Okay, let's. She's on now.
Yeah, cop.
And Director Molina as well.
Molina's not here.
Where is she? Asana. Director Asana logged it in. All right, open the cards. Does that pass?
Seven passes.
7-1 with 2 abstentions. Okay, that item passes. That makes the original motion moot. We have, I think the last item is the pedestrian bridge. Do we need to hear that now? That's what I'm saying, to go into closed session rather than hear this. Can we put the pedestrian bridge item over to next month?
Yeah. Can you put 48?
We need to go to closed session.
Yeah, we have to go to closed session, and we're going to put that item over to next month. I apologize to anyone who was waiting on that item.
I just leave it on.
Any leftover public comment will be taken when we return from closed session.
Richard, can I call you for 30 seconds? I'll send you 5 minutes.
Give
me 2 minutes, I'm not sure
what's going on. Hold on, can I just make sure? So we keep moving back.
After closed session.
Oh, after closed session.
Yeah, because they're going to break out to closed session and come back out.
How long? Food.
Okay. Not a problem. And then
Another one is number 41, right?
And 31.
We're going to do 41. Long range plan, 45.
31.
28, we're going to request that 28 and 31 be moved to November.
You mean December,
Well, it's the November meeting.
Kind of
like the Los Angeles Angels.
Just because we're losing directors, we're on borrowed time as it is.
31.
So we're not going to do 28.
41 and 45?
We're going to do 41 and 45, and that's it.
31 to December.
Okay, we have 1, 2. Okay, we're back from closed session. We're going to resume our
agenda. No reportable actions, right?
Not on this. Not from this earlier session, but earlier there was, which we'll get to. But let's do this, and we'll have Charles report later.
I'll move item 41.
Southern California Regional Rail Authority improvements.
It's very important.
Then I definitely move that.
Very important safety.
Second.
Okay. Second. Any objections to that? We have a quorum? Yes. Okay. Passes without objection.
Thank you.
45. Free fare on the Metro Gold Line East Side Extension on opening day.
All right.
Opening day free fares.
Opening day free fares. There are no objections. Ignore Director Katz, please.
Well, what else are the two items?
The other one is the, it's a little more complicated, the pedestrian bridge at Universal.
Yeah,
oh, number 46 is the approval of nominee Albert Huang for membership.
Second.
No objections?
Well, what is the nomination for?
For membership to the San Gabriel Valley Service Sector Governance Council.
Oh, yeah.
Council.
Well, absolutely.
We're going to carry over Universal.
So the bridge is there,
right? So, 2831 next. Next time.
Broadway.
Okay, that's
very good.
And you know what's going to happen?
That's it. Any public speaker cards remaining? Okay, I can. Thank you.
Hold up. I'll stay here.
Got nothing better to do.
Is that on an item?
We have public speakers?
You gave me.
There aren't that many people in the audience.
Jackie Nutting, Arnold Sachs, Megan Delahunty, Stephen Box.
They waited all this time. So.
Stephen Box was here. Ike Chang.
Okay. Ready?
Yes, okay. Ma'am.
Hi. Good afternoon, distinguished board members. My name is Jackie Nutting, and I'm with the Associated Builders and Contractors, Southern California and Los Angeles County chapters. And we're seeking to become a community-based organization, by the way. Our members constitute over 500 local free enterprise and open shop public works contractor companies and 900 apprentices who are receiving prevailing wage, medical and retirement benefits, and training equal to the excellent union training programs. Our association is in favor of fast forwarding the Foothill Extension and others so that we may participate in building them, under your local hiring guidelines, of course. We seek equal opportunity in bidding and employment. We urge you not to place a union exclusive contract known as a project labor agreement on any of the projects, including the upcoming Foothill Extension. The project labor agreements and its restrictions severely inhibit free enterprise and minority contractors and their apprentices, which represent 80% of the private construction workforce in California. Minority and small businesses which are launching are unable to afford Big Labor's 10 mandated fees and dues under a PLA. These serve as a funnel of taxpayer dollars into their treasuries. Further, under a PLA, open shop employees do not benefit from union pension plans as they will not vest unless they work on the job for at least 5 years.
Thank you, Ms. Nutting. Are you almost concluded?
I'm done. And by the way, I brought some cards in case anybody would like to have one.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Did anyone else hear their name called and wish to address? Stephen Box, Megan Delahunty, Arnold Sachs, Ike Chang.
Everybody's gone.
I didn't
I'm
see
not sure, I'm not sure why I'm
Kimberly Richards, come forward, please. And
actually, I'm starting to wonder what I was going to say. It's been so long since this meeting started. You know what, Mr. Chairman? Why don't I just jump over my authority and move to adjourn?
Isn't that cute?
What was that?
We have to report out from our first closed session. Okay.
Okay.
Adjourn?
Absolutely. Discussion?
They're all punchy. Yeah, okay.
Mr. Chairman, I want to congratulate you on doing a great job on that. Anyway, you took it over the top, buddy. All right, man.
Don't turn off the mic. Just talk to the back room.
I'm sorry, I'm all alone today. I saw it too. I just don't remember it happened. Oh, this is the house.
Yeah.
That's it. But I need a copy. So if you need a copy, yeah, I only have one.
Okay, the MTA Board of Directors met in closed session today and took action on the following items. Item 47A1, Mesa versus MTA, case number PC043220. The board approved a settlement in the sum of $582,500. On item 47A5, Siemens versus MTA, case number BC3983545, the board approved a settlement in the sum of $285,000. On items 47A2, 3, and 4, settlement agreements will be made available when the settlement is finalized. The board took no further reportable action in closed session, and that concludes my reports.